They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What kind of relief is going to Pakistan?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective. What's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. Thousands of Pakistanis in the southern part of that country are trying to make their trek home today. It's been more than a month since monsoon rains began to fall and disastrous floods inundated large parts of that country. At least 2,000 people were killed. Millions of people along the Indus River are homeless. It is a humanitarian, an environmental, and an economic calamity in Pakistan, one that will be felt for years and years beyond now. Angelica Bartolai is senior analyst covering South Asia for the Economist magazine's intelligence unit, and she's with us live from London. Hi, Angelica.
Good morning.
First, let's get an update on what's going on in Pakistan. Are the waters finally receding there?
Unfortunately, they're not. What we see is that damage is still being done. There has been more flooding in Sindh province, which is in the south of the country, just in the past couple of days. We are expecting more severe flooding in some areas in the days ahead, and this is basically because monsoon season still has a couple of weeks to run.
Now, we know, Angelica, whole villages have been swept away by floodwaters, and people have had to evacuate to higher ground. But what other economic effects are these floods having?
Well, as you said, it is sort of first and foremost a humanitarian disaster, but the economic impact is going to be absolutely enormous, not only in terms of the reconstruction that will have to be done in terms of physical infrastructure. We expect to see a severe impact on inflation. We've already revised up our inflation forecast, and inflation was already a serious problem. So now it will merely be exacerbated because of the damage to crops and the damage to infrastructure.
How has the West, and I say the West, the U.S. and Britain, seized upon this as not only an opportunity to help the Pakistani people, but to rebuild some trust between the nations? It historically hasn't been there.
True. It does sort of present Western countries with a massive opportunity. If we look, for example, at the U.S., the U.S. has been very active in this crisis. The U.S. has been the single largest bilateral donor, and its response has been very quick and comprehensive. That will definitely help perceptions of the U.S. within Pakistan, but I think the problem is really quite complex. Anti-U.S. sentiment in Pakistan is quite deep and widespread, and it comes from lots of different complex sources. One example is the U.S. Drone campaign to target insurgents, which is ongoing. So there are some positive points and some negative points, and I think that although Western flood relief efforts might help perceptions in the short term, they're actually not likely to have that much impact in the longer term because of all these other factors that come into play.
Angelica Bartolai from The Economist magazine's intelligence unit in London. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are down right now. Japan's Nikkei fell more than 3.5%. Investors are still worried the value of the yen versus the dollar will hurt exports there. European markets are much lower at this moment, off about 0.5% to about 1%. Wall Street yesterday, a worse-than-expected personal income report sent stocks tumbling. Markets here at home were off 1.5% or more. The Dow gave back, 140 points to close just above 10,000 at 10,009.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Word today that the Indian economy grew between April and June at its fastest clip in 3 years, nearly 9%. A part of that growth is in filmmaking. Indian cinema, known as Bollywood, is one of the world's fastest growing industries. It made $2 billion last year, and analysts expect it to double in the next few years. The rising stakes have led to what could be the next new thing in Bollywood. Reporter Raymond Thibodeau has more from New Delhi.
In the opening scene from the Bollywood hit movie Dashtana, actor John Abraham jogs along a white sand beach. It's all done in slow-mo to make sure the audience doesn't miss his six-pack abs and his $2 million butt. At least, that's how much Abraham wants to insure it for.
It just sounds like a joke purely because we're talking about his butt.
Anupama Chopra is a Bollywood film critic. India's tabloids went wild after Abraham's manager announced that the actor was looking for an insurance company to cover his backside, which made him famous in India.
Given that his butt played such a pivotal role in Dastana, I suppose many people would say the butt is worth $2 million.
Chopra says Abraham's attempt to insure his asset is the latest twist in a Bollywood trend. He'd be the first major Indian film star to have a body part insured. Chopra says it's a natural outcrop of a new, more corporatized Bollywood. With more expensive films, higher profits, and higher risks, more investors and actors are looking for ways to protect themselves from things going wrong.
Suppose the film is half done and the actor dies in an accident, or suppose the set is destroyed or damaged. The cost of re-erecting the set is covered under the policy.
T.A. Ramalingam is the head underwriter at Bajaj Alliance, the first agency to insure Bollywood films. So, is there any chance he'd insure the body parts of actors?
Personally, I don't think this is of much interest to us. Film insurance does not cover one anatomy part, it covers the whole body.
Hi, sexy.
Ramalingam says it's unlikely that Abraham will find a company in India willing to insure his butt. But Abraham's much-publicized search hasn't exactly hurt his box office appeal, especially as he goes into filming for Dashtana 2. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
Now, it's still unclear what the actual hazards are to Indian actors' rear ends and why they would require insurance. But in the National Football League, the NFL here at home, the body can take quite a beating, not to mention the hair. Pittsburgh Steelers safety Troy Polamalu has nearly 3 feet of hair whisking down his backside, a tribute to his Samoan heritage. When he's not on the field, Polamalu and his locks endorse Head & Shoulders shampoo. And that company just insured his head of hair for $1 million through Lloyd's of London. A strand of confidence in case his hair gets in the way on the field. Check us out online at marketplace.org. You can share your thoughts and download the podcast while you're there. And you can follow me on Twitter, ChiatekisMMR. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Steve Chiatekis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.